onto the observation platform and looked into the trees growing from the steep embankment. Somewhere out there, a shale bluff towered over the Olentangy, but all I could see was sun-dappled gold and orange. The only sounds were foresty rustling noises and birds and the crunch of sneakers on the gravel trails, and somewhere, far off, traffic. Then I heard something that was distinctly unnatural. A dusty scrambling, a startled gasp, followed by a series of snaps and the startled bark of a dog. I pushed off the railing and started down the Ripple Rock Trail, calling out, "Hello? Everyone okay?" I heard a voice, but couldn't quite make it out. I scanned the sloping path for the dog, the woman from the parking lot, or sign of what had caused the noise.
"I don't think doggies are allowed on this trail," a voice said, lilting.
I rounded a corner and finally saw someone, a woman in lime green running gear, farther down the path. She crouched before the fox-like dog, which hunkered just off the trail, tail swishing like a metronome.
"What are you doing out here all by yourself?"
"It was with someone," I said. The lady in green spun around to look at me, while the dog growled and let loose a tirade of barks that echoed through the trees around us. "Did you see a woman? Silver hair, cargo pants?" I had to raise my voice to be heard over the dog's barking.
"No, I just came around the corner and saw this little dude. He seems terrified."
Over her shoulder, I saw a strange divot in the surface of the trail, an irregular-shaped hole where it looked like a rock had become dislodged. "There," I said, pointing. I took a few steps closer while the dog continued to snarl. The woman in green grabbed a hold of the leash, which had caught on a branch. I headed for the divot. Everything on either side of the path was orange and golden and brown. Off to the right, the ground sloped gently. To the left, a much sharper drop-off to a creek, at least 50 feet below. The left side was where I saw the bottom of a hiking boot, the hem of ripstop cargo pants, midway between the trail and the ravine below. "Oh, shit," I said. "I see her down there." I stepped off the path and nearly slipped on a pile of dewy leaves. "The ranger station," the other woman said. "I'll go for help." I gingerly stepped over a moss-covered log, bracing myself against a tree trunk studded with mushrooms. "Can you hear me?" I called. The lady from the parking lot didn't make a sound. She didn't move either. I picked my way down the steep embankment. Now I could see signs of her fall, a patch of earth freshly exposed when another log was bumped aside, a swatch of nylon caught on a sharp root. I nearly lost my footing twice more before I reached her. She was on her stomach, neck twisted harshly, the side of her face planted in the soft ground. I felt for a pulse at her throat, faint. She was bleeding from a gash at the right temple, and her palms were scratched up, mud caked under her fingernails. As I leaned over her, I saw that her eyes were open, staring into the dirt. I didn't know what to do. She was at an angle, meaning the blood was rushing to her head. But I remembered something from a long-ago first aid class about not moving someone with an injured neck. Fortunately, I heard shoes on the gravel above me.
"Where are you?" the woman in green called. "Down here. I'm down here. She's really hurt."
"Thank you, ma'am," a new voice said. "Please stay on the trail." I looked up and saw a young woman in a park ranger's uniform coming down the steep hill. She spoke into a walkie-talkie in urgent tones. Her dark eyes swept across the scene and her expression hardened. The beautiful, quiet morning suddenly felt anything but. They took her to St. Anne's. I followed in my car, unable to shake the sound of my own voice, "Be careful," from my head. Was I the last person who'd spoken to her before she fell? It seemed more than possible, given how empty the trail had been, and it left me feeling responsible. If not for what had happened, then at least for making sure she wasn't alone now. The woman in green had the same idea. She was waiting outside.